My show is called Jeff Norcott, Right-Leaning But Well-Meaning. Now, I am aware that in the current climate, even that is slightly contentious to some. I did think of going for something slightly less incendiary, like I love shooting lions in the face, or 10 things I love about the DUP. But yeah, Right-Leaning But Well-Meaning is the show. I am right of centre, I vote Conservative. It might take people by surprise, the fact that I vote Conservative. I also voted Leave, and that might come as slightly less of a surprise, I suspect. Yeah. Let's be honest, I look like an electrician's wandered on stage. And for the benefit of radio, I sound like an electrician has wandered on stage. I got that title from... I did an Edinburgh show the other year, and I overheard a woman who was kindly recommending my show to another lady. And then she mentioned that I voted Conservative, and the woman balked slightly. And she said, oh, no, you know, he's right-leaning, but well-meaning. I thought, oh, it's interesting that she had to add that, isn't it? It's like saying, from London, but friendly. And that's what the show is about, in part. It's about the... in some cases, controversial idea that you might be slightly right of centre and not be a totally awful bastard. And I had an insight into this when I did Question Time for the first time. Now, let's call it what it is. I still don't know how I blagged that gig. I didn't have the profile to do it at the time. But they'd had a lot of left-wing comedians on. I know, left-wing comedians on the BBC. I've seen it with my own eyes. They had to have a right-wing one on at some point. And as a straight, white, middle-aged man, somehow I took advantage of a diversity quota. And that... But Question Time, they tweet out the lineup the night before, and they said, tomorrow night on the show we have Conservative voting comedian Jeff Norcott. And Twitter reacted in the sort of grown-up way that you'd imagine. They said, oh, Conservative comedian? What, does he just come on and take the piss out of the disabled? Maybe, yeah. If I can think of a good enough joke, I'll give it a go. But you have to understand, my dad was disabled. My dad had one arm and a fruit machine addiction. Literally a one-armed bandit. So, yes. When you go on that show, the producer said to me, look, Jeff, don't try and be funny. And I think maybe you'd just seen the act before. Or... Evidently, that geezer's seen the act over there. But, you know, it can get annoying when comedians go on Question Time and they're constantly trying to shoehorn in gags. But the net result of that is that people at home will then start giving you abuse online, saying, oh, he's not very funny, is he? Not very funny, this Conservative comedian. He's not very funny. I thought, it's Question Time, man. You know, that crowd ain't there for the banter, are they? I don't know what they're expecting. I'm going to walk out with a dicky bow on and go, now then. Why don't you go all two Lib Dems in a bath? Yeah. All of them. That's what it is. And you know what, right? I don't know about you, but on Question Time, the people that actually annoy me most aren't, in fact, the politicians or even the journalists or the economists. It's the public, right? They are, by some distance, the most annoying people on Question Time. And they'll often go at the politicians with points that are unreasonably parochial.
Yes, let's go to the woman at the back there who's had a face on the whole night. Yes, you.
Yeah, I just want to say to the minister, round my way is a park. In that park is a paddling pool which has had dog shit in. It's been there 3 weeks. I want to know what you...
Well,
No, so-called overseas development minister. I want to know what you are going to do about the shit in our paddling pool.
And the minister, the poor bastard, he knows he's on telly, so he has to act like he gives a toss.
Well, this has been going on too long. I've been saying this for some time. Far be it from me to suggest the people on your street should sort this out. This definitely sounds like a responsibility of the state. And may I be very clear? There are 30% fewer messes in paddling pools than there were in 2008. We are sorting out the mess left by dogs and the previous Labour government.
I wouldn't be able to keep my temper in that situation. I wouldn't. If that lady was coming at me, I'd be coming back at her going, well, sorry, madam, you're upset. I'm upset you think this is within my pay grade. I'm a bloody minister. Somebody booked me a taxi to get here. Do you understand? I didn't kiss arse at backbencher level for 7 years, coming through the ranks, just to turn up in your street with a news crew and a pooper scoop. It ain't happening, love. Next question, Dimbleby. Another thing we discussed on that show was whether or not Trump should get a state visit to the UK. He's not coming now. There was an e-petition that said his visit might cause embarrassment to the Queen. I thought, has anyone asked her what she wants? She might see Donald Trump as the most compelling argument against the Republic. Maybe that's it. That might have been the plan, to parade him around the towns and cities of Great Britain, going, yeah, you get rid of me, you might get one of these pricks. So, yeah, you think my kids are wrong'uns? Close at home, we've got our own leaders in this country facing problems. Jeremy Corbyn. I think the mistake that the right have made with Jeremy Corbyn is they've always gone back like 30 years trying to discredit him as a potential prime minister. I think there's plenty happening right now that you could bring up, to be fair. But I also have a personal problem with him, which is slightly less big P political, is he's old, isn't he? He is old. And I know this is a little bit sort of ageist and sexist, but I am a bit. I just don't think that men in their 60s should be in positions of power. Because we've all got male relatives that age. They don't really know what's going on, do they? You know? You wouldn't even trust them with a shopping list, let alone... What's the cut-off point, Jeff? Well, I think if they get to that point, right, if they've got one of those pill boxes with the letters of the days of the week on... If you don't know that Wednesday comes after Tuesday, then no nuclear codes for you, Mr. Corbyn. Not that you'd want them or use them. Now, I'm aware that some of you of a heavily liberal persuasion will be going, but Jeff, I don't see age, I don't see gender. You do. All right, you do. I'll give you a scenario. Now, you go to a supermarket, you go to a Waitrose, and that's not normally my go-to supermarket reference, but this is Radio 4, do you know what I mean? About to upscale a little bit. You go to a supermarket and there are two tills free, right? And on one is a 65-year-old woman and on the other is a 65-year-old man. Who are you going to? Obviously the woman. Obviously the woman. Because, you know, her mind is still sharp. She can still multitask. I mean, she might still look at you in a sort of judgy way and make unwanted comments about your purchases.
Mangoes. My grandson likes those. Do you know he's too tall for his rugby team?
And you have no idea how she turned that into a genetic boast, but she did, and you're through in good time. Now, you're never going to the 65-year-old bloke, are you? Because he already retired once. He already retired once, and his wife realised, I don't like this geezer that much. Yeah? So she booted him back out of the front door. He used to be a bank manager, now he's sitting there in a tabard looking confused. It's sad. Jeremy Corbyn. You just see that look on his face, don't you? When he gets up at PMQs, he looks like a pensioner at a service station that thinks he's lost his coach party. It's when the old Action Man eyes get going. You think, God, this guy needs a biscuit or a nap. As far as the Tories go, I mean, obviously, Theresa is the person for now. Moving forward, I would go with Ruth Davidson, the leader of the Scottish Conservatives, right? Why, Jeff? Well, because she's a lesbian. Yeah. She's a lesbian. A working class Glaswegian lesbian. In your face, Labour. What are you going to do, eh? What are you going to do? You haven't had any female leaders. We've had one, two, and now a lesbian. I think that counts double. We're up to four. I can't speak for everybody here. There might be some in the audience that are getting uncomfortable hearing a straight man make jokes about a lesbian. And I should play my own liberal trump card at this point, is that my son's godparents are two married gay men. So... there you go. Yeah, you lot got any gay godparents in your family? Didn't think so, that's why I said it. It's not why I did it, I mean, that would be cynical, but... I see myself as politically correct, although now is a difficult time because that notion is evolving so fast it's hard to keep up. But certainly when I was in my late teens, often, like a lot of people, I corrected my mum. I was often telling her things that she couldn't say. You know, Mum, you can't say that, all right? Mum, well, you definitely can't say that. Yeah? He's not queer, he's gay, all right? He's not coloured, he's black, yeah? He's not a useless cripple, that man is my father. The Tories actually following Question Time. They did try and tap me up.
Join us, Geoffrey. We could do with one who sounds like you, Geoffrey. Council estate boy who actually knows the price of milk.
It's more of a pragmatic thing for me. I've never seen a vote as an ideological expression. And I know that many on the left, they wear it as a badge of their identity. They see it as an expression of themselves. Every 5 years, they put a cross in a box, and that means that they're a good person. I find it odd. I don't want to ever see somebody striding into a polling booth. I don't want to see that. That's not very British, is it? I mean, if somebody even bought their own pencil, I'd put them on a watch list. I'm not having it. I mean, British democracy is more like choosing your own form of torture, isn't it? Oh, I think I'll go with the bollock clamp this time. I could see why the Tories would want to parade somebody like me around, because, my dad was a trade union man, my parents were disabled, and I grew up on a council estate. Now, I should say that council estate was in Wimbledon, which immediately loses me any working-class credibility, because I could tell you it was rough. You know, I could tell you the kids had knives, but you'd be thinking, yeah, but it's probably only a cut fruit for the pims, wouldn't it? A council estate upbringing is supposed to make you labour for life. But what it showed me is what can happen when people get trapped in a life on benefits. It also showed me that even though the middle class is often called benefit fraud a myth, it isn't, because I was involved. My mum was brilliant at it. And you know what? It was actually fun to watch her razor-sharp mind run rings around the staff at the local council.
Mrs. Norcott, you're claiming council tax discount, but we believe there is a man living with you. Is that accurate?
What business is it of yours?
Just an official question.
You want to know if I've got a bloke?
In effect, yes.
Sorry, love. You're not my type.
I didn't mean it like that.
They all say that when you knock them back.
Are you cohabiting?
What kind of question's that?
You can't answer a question with a question.
Why not?
Oh, I'm getting frustrated.
Not surprised.
I cannot allow you to leave without official confirmation of your relationship status.
This is sexual harassment.
That's not even a thing.
Trust me, love, it will be.
And also, like a lot of people at that time, she fiddled her electricity meter using magnets, which made... Well, don't identify yourself now, mate. Which made for some awkward visits when the bloke came to read that meter.
Mrs. Norcott, I've done a read of your electricity meter.
Oh, is that what that is? We never go in that cupboard.
Well, your consumption has been low.
We're very circumspect in this house. And before you mention the sunbed, we never turn it on. We don't even run a fridge.
Yeah, well, the thing is, in the last quarter, you've barely used enough electricity to microwave a plate of beans. I'm going to ask you straight out. Why is your meter covered in magnets?
Because they won't stick to the cupboard door. It's made of wood.
Yeah, but why would you stick them to the cupboard door?
We run out of space on the fridge.
You said you didn't have a fridge.
I said we didn't run one. We use it as a cupboard.
You could go to prison for this.
Fine. Then my electricity bill really would go down. This is sexual harassment.
A lot has changed around benefit fraud. I worked down Brixton DSS in the mid-90s. What it showed me is how state dependency can become a state of mind. I remember this one bloke in particular called Peter Green. Now, Peter, easiest way to say it, was a charismatic, outgoing heroin addict. It's an odd thing to say, but he's a genuine raconteur. Everyone had a story about Peter, and his thing was he was always trying to be seen ahead of his time. And one day, he was particularly insistent. And I said, "What is it today, Peter?" And he said, "Well, I've got to go to hospital to have my arm amputated." I was like, "All right, mate, this is the worst excuse you've ever come up with." Right? And he left in a bit of a stress. I didn't think anything more of it. Then 2 weeks later, he came into my office, waved a stump at me, and went, "See?" Now, at this point, I'm faced with one of two things. Either I made the wrong call about a very sick man, or he went and did that just to prove a point. Maybe heroin's not the problem, Peter. Maybe it's stubbornness. Oh, really, Jeff? Punching down on a one-armed smackhead? Is that where you want your comedy to be? Well, obviously, you've forgotten. My dad had one arm, so... It also came about through substance abuse, but my dad responded to it very differently. It happened in the 60s, right? He had a girlfriend called Carol Darden, and he had a motorbike with a sidecar in, but he liked to drink, my old man, and he took her out on that motorbike, and he hit a car coming the other way, and the motorbike came down on his arm, and he lost his arm forever that day, and he spent a while in a coma. And it's not an obviously comedic payoff for a story, I'll give you that. What we loved about it as a family, though, was what happened to Carol Darden. Now, I know that the ladies in the room were often already asking that question, while the men were thinking, what kind of bike was it? Yeah, thought as much. Carol was fine. What happened was the motorbike detached very neatly, and the road was very long, and it was very straight. A bit of family myth has been added over the years as to just how much further she travelled down that road, ladies and gentlemen. 250 yards, 500 yards. Maybe she's still going. Alcoholism, heroin, motorbikes. I think working class stories are just better. You know? I think that's the reason posh kids go travelling, isn't it? They get to 18 and they go, I need to bank some decent anecdotes, you know? That story about the time the heating failed in the conservatory, you just ain't gonna cut it. All that happened in Box Hill. I didn't even have to go to Machu Picchu, whatever it's called. But my dad reacted very differently to that because he saw that he'd had a role in what happened to him. He never claimed disability benefit. But my mum, you know, she had a very different start in life. She was brought up in an orphanage. She was left there at the age of 5. So she was, you know, she wanted what the state could give to her. And I understand that. And it's weird because some people think being right and centre means that you're not charitable. But my mum was very big on charity. She used to take me and my sister up to the children's home once a year and make us give away our favourite toy, which obviously taught us about the value of charity. Or it taught us about the value of being able to lie about what your favourite toy was. That's it. What are you talking about? That's not just a tennis ball. I drew a face on it, all right? I sometimes think my view on tax was formed in that moment. I do, you know? Because if my mum had set reasonable toy donation thresholds, I wouldn't have been forced into aggressive toy avoidance measures. Well, we're on the subject of tax. We're living in a strange time, aren't we? Everybody hates the corporations. If you mention corporations, they get an almost uniformly negative response. But we buy all their products, don't we? We moan about the corporations whilst using an Apple laptop, drinking a coffee in Starbucks and Googling something. You know, I personally don't think that Starbucks pay enough tax. Equally, they do make an excellent flat white. It's difficult, isn't it? My own personal rebellion is when I'm in there, I take way more napkins than I need. Way more. I mean, tax avoidance, it's sort of hypocritical, isn't it? It's like snogging in public. You know, totally awful unless you personally are involved. There's a lot of people set up as limited companies that don't need to be. I personally, I'll be honest, I'm like that. I'm set up as a company, despite the company being me, a laptop and a 2012 Seat Ibiza. That's all it is. I think that they should have more stringent questions when you become a company. Like, do you have a vending machine? Yeah? When the photocopier breaks, do you feel like somebody else should come sort it out? Do you have a colleague who's reluctantly nominated as a first aider? That is a company. I think maybe we're thinking about it the wrong way. There's certain companies, like Google, they are the verb for doing something. Maybe we should recognise that and say that if you come up with a product so great it made us ignore our own principles, maybe you shouldn't have to pay any tax, right? Be like some sort of scholarship. I'll tell you something, if somebody said to me, Jeff, you have to use Yahoo, I'd go, sod that. I'd rather take my chances down the library. From the private sector to the public sector, I used to be a teacher. I don't know if anybody has an idea in their mind of what subject I would have taught. And if you're thinking PE, sod you. Okay, they're all thinking PE. I was an English teacher. Don't patronise me, Radio 4. I'm a clever bloke. What's happening here? I'm genuinely an intellectual. I got 3 A's at A-level, so there you go. Now, I know from experience when you say that, there'll be some middle-class bloke sitting in the crowd right now who wants to quantify my working-class success, thinking, but what subjects, Jeff? Eh? What subjects? Well, I'll tell you, mate. English, politics, and theatre studies. So I... But, you know, I miss teaching, in a way. I enjoyed it. I was a strict teacher, and I think sometimes it's good to be a wall that doesn't fall down the moment the kids lean on it. And sometimes, it's just fun to say no to the kids.
Sir, while we write this essay, can we listen to music?
No.
Why not?
I just don't want you to have that in your life right now.
Music helps me work.
What are you, 1 of 7 dwarfs? I said no.
It helps me concentrate.
How can Kendrick Lamar help you focus on Chaucer?
Miss used to let us.
Well, you know, Miss was a savage alcoholic and she'd stopped trying. Yeah, that's right. No, she ain't on maternity leave. She ain't on maternity leave and that wasn't morning sickness. What? The lefties keep telling me to treat kids like grown-ups. Sometimes the teacher's role is to prepare the children for the harsh reality of life. At one school, they made us do counting with the kids. Now, the problem was, it was rural Bedfordshire, it was the mid-noughties, and everyone was rolling in borrowed money. For a teacher who started out in Brixton, their problems didn't sound that shocking.
Sir, I've got problems at home.
You think you got problems? I just got turned down for a mortgage with Northern Rock.
No, it's really bad, sir. I've got to share a room with my sister.
Oh, no. Very sir. I think I heard about this on Comic Relief. Yeah, very sad video with Ewan McGregor. Very sad.
Ain't funny, sir. You said to come to you if I was having any problems.
No, I said any genuine problems.
It's genuine to me.
All right, all right. Come here, sir. See out there. See out there. See that window?
Yeah.
See out there is a school field.
Yeah.
See, beyond that field is a fence.
Yeah, I see it.
Yeah. Beyond that fence is approximately 7 billion people that don't give a toss about what you just said. That's right. Including me. Yeah. I know I seem like a give a toss, but that's only contractually obliged. It's not the same. So, yeah, I was a teacher, and I'll be able to teach again in 4.5 years. That's it. Never. Now, I know that we're living in a culture where you're not supposed to have a go at public sector workers, particularly in the NHS, right? But among the saints and missionaries, there are some people that aren't just very good at their job. My family always seems to get those people, like when my dad got his cancer diagnosis.
You are the Norcott family?
Yes. Yes.
OK, Mr. Norcott Senior?
Yes.
I have the results, and it's not good news.
Is it like X Factor? You can say it's not good news, it's great news.
I'm afraid it is stage 4 pancreatic cancer.
Then there was a pause while we took this sad news in. Then she said...
FYI, it's the same cancer Patrick Swayze had.
Why are you telling us that?
Are we supposed to be happy because Dad's got a famous cancer twin?
Who the bloody hell is Peter Swayze?
Patrick Swayze.
Both the Swayze brothers? Very sad.
Patrick Swayze is the one from Big Trouble in Little China.
No, Joanna, that was Kurt Russell. He just looks like Patrick Swayze.
I bet you a score that was him.
I'll Google it.
Can't get signal. I'm going outside.
Oh, let's all go.
Would anybody like to hear the rest of the diagnosis?
We were incredibly close to Dad at the end because he was old and there was money. Excuse me, Doctor. We think Dad might have passed on.
Do you now?
Yeah. Is there any chance you could check?
OK. Mr. Norcott. Mr. Norcott. Hello?
You appear to be slapping his face.
I am indeed slapping his face.
Oh, right. I thought there might be a machine or a stethoscope. You haven't even got a pen.
This is how we check.
Oh, right. Is that how you check, is it? Just slapping in the face? Because that's how my wife brings me round after a heavy meal. There is a point in most shows where, like the theatre, they'd like to send you out on a positive note. You know, send you out into the streets singing and dancing. So, Brexit. Yeah, I'm not going to do that. Now, I should say, despite being a Leave voter, I'm not adversarial. You know, I want to build bridges. Admittedly, not to Calais, but I do want to build bridges. And I do feel in company like this that I want to say I voted Leave, but I'm not a racist. But you know what? Some Remainer arguments sounded racist to me.
But, Jeff, if we leave the EU, who's going to come and do all the low-paid menial work?
He's going to pick the strawberries or work at Pret.
Oh, wow, didn't realise that was what the EU was there for, is to supply you with economic Oompa Loompas. I'm sorry for messing up your childcare plans. Maybe you'll just have to pay the going rate. Now, I do think, like I say, I don't want this to be adversarial, and I think that if you eventually want to get a different result, you've got to change people's minds. You've got to stop calling them thick. Which brings me to that claim made about the NHS on that bus. Now, a lot has been said about the fiscal veracity of that claim and whether or not, indeed, it was a turning point in the whole referendum. But to that, I say this. It wasn't a bus, was it? It was a coach, clearly a coach. I mean, it might seem like... to the point where you're sort of showing your privilege if you can't tell the difference, but just... FYI, working class people, we are able to read things on the side of a bus without swallowing them whole. You know, there's other things that I've seen in that space advertised that I haven't, you know, accepted. There's been a lot of rom-coms saying they were the must-see film of the year. I didn't go. And then people, you know, they say we shouldn't do Brexit because it's hard, while simultaneously saying that young people are risk-averse. Maybe that's what millennials need. They need a hard Brexit, right? Because they haven't had any great upheaval in their life, have they? I mean, all that's really happened was that phones got smaller and then bigger again. It's... They don't know. They don't know some of the things that we had, like, you know, like chip pan fires. And I... I know some of the younger people will be going, but Jeff, how could an oven chip catch fire? You don't understand. You don't understand. We weren't quite so risk averse once upon a time. You know, we like to get a vat of oil as hot as we could, then lob a potato in like it's a grenade. We had pyjamas that were 90% polyester. My mum would be like, boy, don't sit too close to the fire. I was like, well, don't dress me in plastic, is the other. Do you know, sometimes I think that the liberal left would rather be correct than happy. I really do, genuinely. You know, if the polar ice caps melted, if the rainforests were gone and there were food riots everywhere, the very last sound you'd hear would be a Guardian reader going, Kelth, breathe. Now, I've got a mate like that. He's one of those people, he wakes up, has an espresso, and he thinks he can stop the whole Brexit process with a hashtag or a meme.
What about Ireland, Jeff? Did you think about Ireland?
Yeah, to be honest, I think a lot of us didn't give that enough thought.
Yeah, and you're looking forward to your blue passport. Maybe when it opens, you could also play the theme from Dam Buster.
Come off it, Tristan.
Yeah. And Gibraltar. Did you think about that?
No, to be honest, I didn't think about Gibraltar, not once.
Oh, well done. We might have to go to war with Spain.
Good. I think that's one we could win. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Oh, we've already got a sleeper cell dad's army of pensioners out there, right? All we got to do is activate those old bastards. They'd be up for a rumble, wouldn't they? All right, but with the added benefit, if they get captured and interrogated, they'll never blab because they never learn the bloody language. Okay. 2 years we've been interrogating him, boss. All we've got out of him is Dos Cerveza, por favor. He thinks I'm a waiter. So, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've been able to empathise with me, a conservative comedian. And if you simply don't care, apparently that's a conservative trait. So maybe we've got more in common than you think. I've been Jeff Norcott. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Jeff Norcott, right-leaning but well-meaning. It was written and performed by Jeff Norcott with Barry Castanola and Leanne Everett. Additional material by Stephen Grant and Barry Castanola. The producer was Caroline Raphael, and it was a peer production for BBC Radio.